Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with your in-laws and those who drink White Claws. Let's get into this episode.
Big Facts
No
Cap.
Big
Facts
No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big
Facts
No
Cap.
Big
Facts
No
Cap.
No Cap.
Big
Facts
No
Cap.
Big
Facts
No
Cap. Cap.
No cap.
There has been a lot of technical difficulties getting this episode up and running, but I think we finally got it.
I think we're on. Merry Christmas, Paul. Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas. What'd you get?
I was not complaining about this earlier, but I was noting that I actually didn't get anything to unwrap, so I'm really excited to get my actual Secret Santa present, because otherwise I just got money from people.
Oh, interesting. Your life has been full of uncles. You always get money.
Yeah, my little neighbor sent me, was going to give me a gift, but I literally didn't have the room for it, so she's going to send it to me, so I'm getting that. I know she listens, so I don't want to put her on blast, but she gave me an Owala water bottle, which I'm very excited about and I think is going to be great. Don't love the color scheme she chose.
It sounds like you're putting her on blast.
I'm not putting her on blast. I'm saying I love the present. I mean, when you think of me, do you think beige water bottle with a couple pastel colors up top?
Yeah, usually.
Okay, well, maybe this is me. You know, I'm learning today I have a lot of communication issues. Maybe it's me.
Either that or like a little steamed bun that could talk. That's the other thing that comes to mind.
You think of the Pixar short bow. Okay. That's what you think about. Because like my Nalgene is aubergine, which I think really speaks to, I mean, I love a lavender. That's my favorite color. But beige as the base color for the entire water bottle? Okay.
And don't take this the wrong way, but maybe sometimes I think if like they managed to make Kirby like elderly and have like a cane.
What about it?
Oh, that's the other image that comes to mind when I think about you.
Kirby with a cane?
Yeah. And okay. A big white beard.
You know I can't grow a beard. That's interesting. You just think I'm wise.
No, yeah. You don't like muted colors? What is your color scheme? Are you I was going to say a winter. What season are you? But I don't actually know what the different colors you use for the seasons are. I know that's a thing some women follow.
Some women. I'm sure NBs and men follow it too. I had a Guatemalan empanada at the farmer's market today. It was pretty good. I'm not gonna lie.
I usually imagine you as like a little animated empanada with feet and a smile.
So you think of me as Kirby, as an empanada,
elderly Kirby with a cane and a beard.
Elderly Kirby with a cane. Okay, all right. There were better sounding empanadas, but I felt like if there was a Guatemalan one, I had to get it, and they were each $10, and I was like, I'm not getting two. I'm getting one. So I guess I'm getting the Guatemalan one.
I know Jay Kenji has done a New York Times recipe where, oh man, I'm gonna fuck up what country it's from.
Y'all are in first name basis?
Yeah, me and Jay Kenj. Me and JK.
Okay.
Jay Kenji Lopez Alt. I wanna say maybe it was Colombian, but I could be wrong, but it was,
I mean, that's where his wife is from. His ex-wife, which is one of those names where does he drop that when he gets divorced or what happens?
I don't know, but that makes sense because he said it was in-laws. So okay, Colombian, and it was
in Bogota.
Empanadas made with like full corn kernels, like that he made the mesa with like the type of corn kernels used for popcorn, like already cooked or dried, I guess not cooked, dried corn kernels, and then blended that in a food processor to make the mesa. And he was like, oh, I guess it a whole different flavor. It sounded really good. I really liked the idea of it.
I will say a mesa is a table. Masa is the dough.
Oh, masa. Okay, sorry. That's on me. You're right. That big bag with the green letters does say MASA.
It does, brother.
Very, one of those foods that's really like rice and beans and its ability to like, I mean, I guess I'm not making corn tortillas very often, but man, you buy one of those bags and I'm like, I could get an infinite number of tortillas out of this.
It's free, baby. What were you doing for your tortilla press?
Oh, you know, I wasn't actually making tortillas with it as the core reason I got it. I forget why. This was years ago. An ex wanted to make a different dish that used masa.
Arepas?
So I had a bag of it in my pantry forever.
Yeah. The other thing that happened at the farmer's market that was funny is that a guy came over. He read our sign And it was kind of like the like a cartoonish thing where out of his pocket he pulls out a full ass wound up magazine and he hands it to me and he says, "You guys should read that and pass it around. It might be a little bit too radical for you." This is a really old guy, by the way.
Was it too radical for you?
No, it wasn't too radical for us, but it was a good read. It's called, let's see, Adbusters. I want you to play the planetary endgame. They're supporting some kind of party called, like, the Bums, like the bottom-up majority, the Bums.
He thinks Adbusters is too radical for somebody. Anti-consumerism, he's like, anti-consumerism is really the bleeding edge of radicalism, is just being one of those guys who's like, marketing is annoying. I don't even fall for it. I don't fall for marketing.
Yeah, I read it, and I was like, yeah, this is all fine. This is all perfectly fine with us. I can't imagine this being too radical for anybody in our group.
It's a really random and weird bone to pick, but anti-consumerists is, I don't know. It's like people who I usually align with, but I find them more annoying and less actually political than any other, like, pseudo-political.
This sounds like someone going on the diatribe about how anti-Americanism isn't an ideology in and of itself.
Yeah, maybe it's a little bit like that. I mean, I guess it does overlap with that because it does feel like edgy people who don't actually have any ideas. They just don't like people or things. Mm. I don't know. It just seems like somebody who's upset at monoculture, which, like, is a problem, but, like, it's not a political problem. Like, it's always people who are more upset about, like, vibes that are upset about marketing and ads.
About being a part of the system. Other than that, nothing too notable today. I did buy myself a soccer ball as a little Christmas present. That was nice. What's going on over there? What have you been doing?
My media roundup is pretty short. The only things I watched were Creed and Creed 2 while I was here. The first one was great. The second one, not so much. Really did that thing where the sequel was bloated compared to the like first really well done and just long enough and delivered all the emotion perfectly. A real dive in quality. Excited to see if number 3 picks it back up.
Nice. The only things I did were I watched Inside Man while at Christmas with Julia and Greg.
Did you at any point turn to Julia and Greg and say, "I wish I was inside a man"?
I did multiple times. They thought it was really funny every time. Every time there was a beat. No, I thought it's Phil's favorite Denzel movie, and I can kind of see why. It was pretty good. Like, it wasn't an action movie, so it was like it was a heist movie, and so I did like it more than some of the movies that Phil tries to get me to watch. And then I watched Marty Supreme, which, if you don't know, is about table tennis, and yeah, it's a real Safdie's joint. If you liked Uncut Gems, if you like Good Times, if you like feeling stressed for a main character that you're not necessarily supposed to root for but kind of root for, it's got all of that. This is maybe one of those things where, like, in 10 years, it's going to be weird to, like, think back about Timothée Chalamet being a megastar, but, like, people are saying it's really good acting by Timothée Chalamet. I thought he did great. I don't know if I, like, I don't know. I'm not really following this discourse of, like, we don't have any superstars anymore, but if Timothée Chalamet is going to be the next one, hey, he's doing a good job. That was a good movie.
I think he's already there, right? It would be weird at this point not to say Timothée Chalamet is one of the greats.
Really? Damn. Okay.
Am I wrong about that? It just feels like he's so ubiquitous in our culture right now and has been for like 4 or 5 years. Stuff.
What's his big thing? He's not Dune, right? Is he Dune?
He's Dune.
Okay, see, I didn't watch Dune.
So and he plays the main character, Dune.
No, he plays Paul. Paul's the main character.
Paul Dune.
Because you got main character syndrome.
Of House Dune.
Paul Dune.
From
Paul
Dune. Planet Dune.
Mm. You want to get to the theme?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Yeah, the theme for this one is siblings, partners. I think the title, if you're wondering why the title, it's a new thing me and Adrian are trying, which is hyper-specific audience targeting, which is my sister-in-law listened to the Love Language episode just because she was interested in the topic. So
that's why our next episode is going to be 6-7 or Stealing Brain Rot.
Yeah, for Dorley.
For the children.
For the children.
We're trying to target the children.
Whoa, that's you.
No, hey, come on now.
Yeah, so do you have any excuses, apologies, rebuttals about our performance on the Love Languages episode?
Well, what's the statement?
She said it was a shit episode. No, I'm joking. She was very sweet about it. But the issues identified were that we didn't know what we were talking about. We didn't know the Love Languages before going into the pod.
I did.
And we just seemed unprepared.
Okay, well, welcome to the pod. Second of all, I'm going to get Steven Crowder on this one. Prove me wrong. Like, what? Okay, you were unprepared. Okay, what did we say that was wrong? If your issue is, oh, it seemed like you guys were sleepy. Okay, well, then tell us what I said that was wrong while I was sleepy. Like, tell me what was wrong.
Okay, so we'll have to do a follow-up. It's going to be a little bit of a back and forth. We'll have a debate episode.
Yeah. Big debates. Otherwise, I don't know. I stand by what I said. And if you hear a loud noise right now, it's because the cats are playing with paper bags.
Cool. So we could actually get into the theme. How have you felt about Dora Lee's partners in your life?
Well, I guess I might have a sister-in-law. Let's see. My brother had a husband. I think it was the first person he dated. I think they had a weird open thing. I think they had an open thing, but I'm not totally sure. Maybe they just slept around before they met each other. I don't fully know the details of that. His partner was fine. I thought he was okay. I wasn't super sad when they got divorced, although I'm sure my brother might have been. And then his other partner now. Then he had the other partner who we moved to Europe for, who was fine. There was a bit of a language barrier. English was a second language, although it's one of those things where they say European people usually speak pretty good English, and I think for the most part that was true. But he was just fine. I didn't know that much about him. And then the new partner is a French butcher, who maybe I'll get to know more from being on my brother's Instagram, but right now I don't really know that much about him. I think I've FaceTimed with him once. So not a lot of opinions from me.
That does seem like a cool person to date as far as perks go. Like
a French butcher? Getting
like the best cuts of beef.
Oh, yeah. They got the meats.
Yeah. Does he work at like a place where he's one of many employees all doing the same things? Or is he like a little butcher in a butcher shop doing like the... what you would consider like the romanticized version of what we think of a butcher being?
Great question. Is he a Hallmark BF working at a little butcher shop in the countryside? No idea. Couldn't tell you. And then my sister's partners, I think I was, why was my mom and I were talking about this when we were back home, where I was talking about how Dora Lee's relationships always end so dramatically. Like, there's not a lot of, like, just parting ways. It's always, like, a big kerfuffle. So I think I'm on Dora Lee's side, so I hate all of them. And they're the ops, and it's on site. They better hope they never see me out in these streets. The current ones are okay. Actually, speaking of Hallmark movies, Dora Lee's got a real Hallmark dichotomy right now, where she has... the well-off partner who pays for everything but seems to not pay as much attention or not have as much time for her, and then the not as well-off partner where they have better quality time together but Dorley's struggling to keep up financially for having to pay for half the dates. If you have any advice,
keep being open so that you can juggle both of the relationships.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, Hallmark movies really don't work if the main character is Polly, right?
No, yeah, then it's just them fucking everyone.
Yeah, you can't have the dynamic where they have to pick between two if they could just pick both.
Yeah, isn't that the new Elizabeth Olsen movie?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, it's a woman who dies, and in the afterlife, she has to choose one partner to be with forever, and she has to choose between her like husband who died when they were both young, or her new partner that she's been living with and married to since then, and so it's her having to choose between the two guys, and it's like, hey, be Polly, choose them both.
Is that the deal in heaven? Also, what if one of them chooses her, but she doesn't choose them? That they have to be single forever?
Well, they're both going to choose her.
Oh, but then the other person, I'm saying the loser doesn't get to be with their soulmate or their perfect choice?
Yeah, he gets to be with his partner, Pamela Anderson. You know what I mean?
That seems like a crazy plot. I'm intrigued. I want to see the trailer for this now.
You should watch it. It's still in theaters.
And then as far as my in-laws go... yeah, I have two in-laws, a brother-in-law and a sister-in-law, and they're both very nice, but I think as a younger sibling, it never, it always felt like those relationships were happening in the background until they got married. Mm-hmm. I guess my sister had been dating her boyfriend since, but like, I don't know, it just always felt like I vaguely heard they had like a significant other, I met them a few times, saw them a few times, until they got married, it wasn't like a big presence in my life.
Interesting. Okay.
And then, yeah, now I see them all the time, and they're both very pleasant people.
Well, one of them's a little bit snooty about our podcast takes. But what about the previous ones?
The previous ones? I never really knew any of them that well. Yeah, I guess this would be more interesting if one of them was crazy.
But none of them were.
Yeah. It's usually mothers-in-law who are crazy, right? Not,
Oh, well, I mean, if we're talking about, how do your siblings feel about your partner?
my current partner, I think they like her.
But not past ones. Interesting, the way you worded that.
I don't know about every past one.
They never told them. They're like, have you ever hurt Paul?
No. Mothers-in-law are crazy. What are usually people's, like, that they're taking away their time too much? Is that usually people's problems with partners of siblings?
They're abusive, controlling, possessive. They're a bum. They're dating someone who's below the quality that they should be dating.
Not good enough for you.
That's not worthy. That's about it, right? I don't know. What else could they do?
I think they're changing themselves, like my siblings changing for them, or that they're too controlling.
They're clearly a 90-day fiance who's trying to scam your sibling out of their money and a green card.
Ooh. Is that what you were worried about when your brother moved to Belgium?
Yeah, probably.
I guess that'd be the opposite.
Trying to scam him for it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he did, baby.
He did.
I don't actually know. Maybe, yeah.
And now he lives in the EU for free. Forever.
Mm-hmm. You didn't know any of your, yeah, okay. Yeah, let me think. Yeah, I mean, I mentioned this in the last episode, but neither of my siblings dated in high school, so I didn't know any of their, like, younger, where we, like, would have been in school together or something, partners. Yeah, I don't know. I think, there's a few, if you listen back far enough, there's a few mentions on the podcast of a partner that my sibling had that, he gets shouts out and
he was on
now. Yeah, he was on. Yeah, yeah, that kind of precarity of, like, having those kind of, what is it? Is the How I Met Your Mother episode where Ted gets admonished for bringing random dates to weddings and ruining photos because the people that he no longer talks to anymore. It's a little bit like that where, like, yeah, you can't, I don't know at what point we're going to allow Dora Lee to bring a partner on again, but yeah, I don't know. It's, I mean, they're always fine. I think the thing that I wanted to say about that was that at one point you were talking about the way that I talked to Dorley's partner, and you were like, are you okay? Does Adrian just bully you all the time? Like, is he always this mean to you? And it's like, yeah, that's kind of what I do. Same thing I do with everybody.
Yeah, you got to assert dominance. You got to let them know. In this house, I'm going to be mean to you and to Dorley.
I don't think it's even dominance. I think that's just the way it is. That's the way it is in this family.
I think that's the way you are with a lot of people. I think you,
yeah,
you kind of go for putting people down as a dynamic.
I wouldn't put it that way, but yeah.
Okay, do you want to get into columns?
Yeah, I guess so.
Cool. Dear Annie, sister-in-law called me stupid, and I can't get it out of my head. This one's from 2019. Dear Annie, my husband and I went to dinner with his sister and her husband, who lived in another state. We are all in our 70s. We have never been family close. We have children and grandchildren. They do not. We have pets. They do not. We run in different social circles. They are wealthy. We are comfortable. While at dinner having a casual conversation, my sister-in-law interrupted me and, with a sneer on her face and a nasty tone, said very quietly so our husbands couldn't hear, "You're stupid." It was like a slap in the face. I have not been able to overcome the insult. I have spent the last several years with professional help living with depression, anxiety, and low self-esteem, and had made good progress until her remark. I know I'm not stupid. I worked long hours at a challenging legal job for 40 plus years. I raised two children as a single parent. Both are very well-adjusted adults, doing well in their careers. While working long hours in the legal field with a very demanding boss, I was also caregiver to both my parents and my husband's stepmom. I am my husband's fourth wife, and after getting married, discovered he was verbally abusive, which contributed to my low self-esteem. But I took the bull by the horns and fixed that problem because I didn't want another divorce. He is no longer verbally abusive, and we are happy. But the "you're stupid" remark is something I cannot forget. I told my husband when we left the restaurant what she said and told him I would not go with him to meet them again. He called her the next day while I was out, and then she called me crying to apologize. But a forced apology cannot erase the words or damage they caused. I am not interested in a relationship with a sister-in-law, but I do need to get that remark and how I felt and still feel about it out of my head. It has brought my depression and anxiety back in full mode. I had to renew my meds because of it, and years of progress have been set back. Why does an adult woman who supposedly has better social skills than I do say something like that? And can it be forgiven and forgotten? Because I'm having a hard time.
From feeling stupid.
From feeling stupid.
That's a real didgeridoozy. Well,
That's a wild thing to have happen. What? Why'd she do like a little kid thing where when the adults weren't looking, she stuck her tongue out at her? What was up with the when her husbands couldn't hear, she like quietly whispered, "You're stupid."
I mean, she clearly felt bad about it. That's why she apologized, unless her husband made her apologize.
But like, what happened in the conversation before that that led to that comment? Were they all doing math problems? Like, I don't even get, like, maybe. When would you ever say that to a person?
Well, that's where I think it gets interesting. Being the fourth wife of a verbally abusive guy and saying that you've changed him and you're going to stick with it, I could see someone being like, girl, you stupid.
That's all about the attitude you put on it. You said, girl, you stupid.
The funk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just
and I could
fun.
See them, if they're not that close, being like, oh, we're going to go see my, how are they related? I can't remember. Whatever. And like, yeah, it's his fourth wife. And anytime you hear fourth wife, you got to be like, okay, girl, you're kind of stupid. Like, I don't know. Like,
when I picked this based on the title, I didn't expect abuse to be a part of it.
It was also crazy that you're stupid can put you back on meds and set you back many years, which, again, not belittling her experience, but It's a real tightrope you're walking if that's what can set you back. Yeah,
it is very out of pocket. I mean, I've never had anybody as bold-facedly just tell me something negative about myself. Maybe I have. Maybe I just have to think back to it. Just feel like if anybody's ever said I'm stupid, they were.
You don't remember when we were out walking and you had the Uggs on and a girl said "Yeah, basic" and walked away?
Oh, that did hurt. I had to go back on meds for a little while.
You had to go back on your meds for that. Yeah. You had to go back on Viagra and the other things you were taking.
Is Viagra that embarrassing? Adrian, they have commercials for Blue Chew all over the place now. I don't think people find it that embarrassing.
That's true. That's true. We've reduced the stigma.
Yeah, I guess people have said equally mean things, but I guess usually it's like something that's pitched as a joke, so you have to untangle. This felt like aggressive without even a jokey element. It wasn't even like a wry, or there wasn't even like a veneer
also,
of any other meaning. It was just straight up like letting them know.
It's interesting
factually.
That part of the question was about like, how do I forgive them? But like, you've already decided you don't want to see them again and you're not that close. You don't have to see them again. You don't have to forgive them. This could just be your thing where you don't want to see them anymore. I mean, how do you deal with it yourself? Yeah, that's a whole another story about how, you know, you got to that place in the first place. But so wait, what was that? Is that they have children and grandchildren? We don't, but we're the poor ones. They're the rich ones. I guess that kind of makes sense. I don't know.
She said we're well off. They're wealthy.
Yeah, okay.
The difference is upper middle class versus upper middle class. I don't know. Or
this is the type of white things that white people will do to make themselves seem oppressed. We're well off. They're wealthy.
I'm rubber, you're glue, everything you say sticks right back onto you.
She thought about that in the shower the next day. She was like, God damn it. God fucking damn it.
If somebody says anything that out of pocket, you've been given a free pass to say something wildly rude and shitty back to them. I say you take it. Take your opportunity.
But she didn't bear any ill will against her beforehand, right?
Okay, so she wouldn't have had anything prepped. She wouldn't have had,
Yeah. I don't know. It's really hard to explain, or not to explain, but to give advice to someone where the premise is, I don't know or really care that much about this person, can do that much damage to you. I think there's something in therapy about how you have to guard yourself against not caring about what people who you don't care about have to say about you.
Yeah, we should get into the detail of
the... How do you feel about the justification about her being like, I worked a job. And I took care of a lot of people. Like, I'm not stupid. Like, you don't have to justify that. That's crazy work.
That does show that it, like, got to her in a weird way that she felt the need to explain to the advice columnist. When it's like, the advice columnist is not gonna...
You got donkey brains. You got donkey brains, though.
She thought if she didn't include that, Annie Lane would be like, real quick, before I answer this question, you're not stupid, right? Will you take an IQ test? I just don't like, if you are stupid, I would tell you, like, oh, so you just gotta let people say it. Kind of like with the, like, just go hard against her, you just gotta get in her mind, too. She got in your mind. You just gotta be like, oh, yeah, well, I might be stupid, but at least my husband isn't cheating on me. Bam. Now, even if her husband denies it a million times, that's gonna be in her fucking head forever. She's gonna be like, what does she know? Why was that her go-to?
Ooh, man. Yeah. Interesting. Psychological warfare. Did you ever, even as a kid, question like your parents, like, hey, I saw this thing on TV or this like news story or something about a guy with his fifth wife. Why do they still do that at that point? What's the point of that?
No, because I'd watched enough Friends that I understood how you get to a third marriage.
Is it Ross who has a third marriage? Is it Ross?
Yeah.
Okay. Right, right, right.
How do we feel about the crying on the phone? Why would somebody say something so mean, but specifically hide it from you or from her husband and your husband? So it's clear they knew it was wrong to say that and then admit to it when asked. Like, did you say that?
Here's
like,
the thing.
It just feels like
can I throw this out there?
Order. Yeah.
She could have just been drunk. She could have just had some glasses of wine at dinner.
And do
it
might have
been something that she had on her mind.
We didn't get any attempts to explain tone or context. Do you think there was a tone or context that made this less villainous and more understandable? Do you think it was a, hey, girl, you stupid, and it just, like, didn't land right? Or do you think it really was that egregiously pointed?
No, that's what I was saying. It's like, if it was that way, well, then there's a whole lot more to unpack about, like, the way people perceive things and whether or not she... I don't know. I really don't know. I think there's something fundamentally not wrong, but lacking in your mental fortitude and barriers and exercises and training if something like that from someone that you don't care about can affect you that much. And I think that's maybe my main takeaway is you can't fix everything else. You have no control over anything else. Kind of like how you have no control over how someone perceives your episode about love languages, even though they offer no evidence to the contrary about what you said. And so all you can do is focus on how you feel and what you're able to do and how you feel at the end of the day. And that's good. I can sleep well tonight.
And how would you feel if Annie Lane's reply to this was, real quick, do you or do you not have a prenup? Because as a fourth wife, if you don't, you're stupid.
That's correct. You're stupid, honey. Hey, who knows? Maybe.
Dear feeling stupid, this is the real answer. Your sister-in-law might as well have been talking to a mirror. Oh, so Annie Lane said, I'm rubber, you're glue, everything you say sticks right back onto you. Her remark had absolutely nothing to do with you and everything to do with her. A mentally stable person with normal self-esteem does not go around telling people you're stupid. She must deep down feel pretty darn bad about herself to say such a thing to another person, let alone a family member. Whatever the reason, if this is the first time she said such a thing and since she's apologized, I think you should try to find it in your heart to forgive her. As you showed in your letter, you are an incredibly strong, intelligent woman. I applaud your return to therapy, rather than just resuming medication as well. Hopefully your sister-in-law will seek counseling and sort out whatever would cause her to say such a thing in the first place.
I think we should make note, this is the second time we've had a Dear Annie opinion that was, don't rely on medication, you should only rely on your own mental fortitude.
Okay, weird through line that you're seeing. I don't remember that, but I like that.
So it wasn't actually mental health, but it was the Ozempic one where she was like, I'd rather lose weight from doing the right thing than have to take a shot.
Oh.
She's really anti-medication, which is anti-big pharma, which according to this magazine that I got from the Adbusters is the right way to go.
Ooh. Annie Lane, Adbusters approved.
All right.
Seemed like a good answer. As far as the, like, apologizing thing, I don't know. It seems like everybody's on your side. She's crying. Your husband doesn't seem that weird about it. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
They live out of state. Like, how big of a difference is it going to make? You guys are 70. It's not like, oh, no, we have to go to the same Christmases. Like, who really cares if you don't see each other?
That's what I'm saying. It shouldn't affect you that much, but... you ready to get into my article?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, well, I think I'm seeing twins over here because I also got a Dear Annie. It's, I think I'm falling in love with my sister-in-law. I might be in love with my sister-in-law. Or to put it more accurately, I think I might be in love with my deceased wife's sister. I'm not sure if we're still truly in-laws anymore. My wife died in a car accident 3 years ago. Our son was only 11 months old, so he won't remember his mother. My in-laws, both of her parents, and her four siblings have been very good to me, and we've helped each other through the grieving process. But the one I've gotten close to is her younger sister, who was easily closest to my wife out of all her siblings, too. They were practically best friends. She and I have found solace in each other over the past few years. At first, it just started out as phone calls. Then we started having each other over for dinner. Our conversations became more and more personal, even intimate. On occasion, she babysits for my son when I'm working. She finds it hard to say goodbye to him when I take him back home. One night, a few weeks ago, things finally came to a head, and we began to get physically intimate. But at some point, I started to feel like a dirty, dirty little boy, and I backed away before we could progress all the way to intercourse.
As written.
But at some point, I started to feel like a doity, doity little boy, mommy. And I backed away. And I backed away before we could progress all the way to the intercourse. I'm not sure if I'm in... I'm not sure if I'm in love with my deceased wife's sister or if this is just a severe case of trauma.
Once in our life.
Or if this is a severe case of trauma bonding. Even if I am in love, I'm not sure pursuing her is the right thing. It feels as if I'm somehow spitting on my wife's grave by getting attached to her sister.
Oh, it feels like that, huh?
To my knowledge, neither her parents nor her siblings are aware of how close we've become. Frankly, I'm not sure where to go from here. Confused, widowed father.
This is sad because it does kind of make sense how it happened, but come on, goddamn, my dear man. Yeah.
Oh, the trauma bonding type thing? Oh, actually, there was one thing that I did want to say off top, though, that we didn't talk about before. With the thing about being like, I'm not even sure if they're my in-laws anymore. Do you know anybody who's had, like, the, you lost the person that connects you to that family, but we're still really close, or the someone who, like, you broke up with a girlfriend, but you're still super close with their family? And then also the cultural things are, like, I've told you before that I had an uncle who was my aunt's second husband, so we didn't call him uncle, we called him mister. Like, you weren't allowed to call him uncle, he wasn't family.
No, I haven't had that, but I have heard those stories. I do feel like it's a relatively common story, and it's one that always sounds super uncomfortable, especially if it's like a mother who's still friends with her son's exes and then is like weird and catty to the new girlfriend because she wants her son to get back together with the ex. That's always a crazy situation.
That's a fun dynamic.
Yeah, and it feels like it's happened, like, it's one of those, like, if I had a nickel things where it's like, I would have two nickels, which, like, isn't that many nickels, but it's still weird. It's happened multiple times. Like,
it's kind of like PlayStation. Yeah. It's like, if I had, like, if PlayStation 5, if I had four of them, it'd be weird, but... I actually can't think, I mostly think of TV. I don't know if I actually know too many in real life where, especially me, I really ghost my partner. I don't have bad relationships with my partners after I exit their lives, but I don't know.
No, this has never happened, like, very close to me. It's always, like, a little removed. I thought you did tell me that you had that in your family with somebody's ex-wife, and she's still friends with your mom?
Yeah, no, no. My cousin's ex-wife is closer to my parents than my cousin is now at this point. Mm-hmm. So whenever she has their kid, they're more likely to hang out with her or without the kid when she's around than when our cousin's around. Mm-hmm. Although they're still friends with both of them. They have a weird kind of like, we don't take sides type relationship on that one. Yeah. So Paul, like, really naughty, naughty little natty boy things that you've done with people that you're not supposed to.
Oh, I don't really have experience with that. This feels like a real soap opera type thing. This is crazy. This is very dramatic.
Well, I was actually going to say, I wouldn't be surprised if this happens more often than we think.
The events all make sense. None of them feel like, yeah, like you said, like, I could see it happening more than once. What I will say is, you know what you're doing is wrong, because imagine how horrible this would be to explain to the kid.
We that know your you mommy loved his mother so much that you married the closest person to her.
Yeah. We know your mommy is gone, and your closest connection to her is now your new mom. Like, that would break their mind, and that's how you know what's happening is wrong.
No, it'd be worse if it was their mom. If their mom's mom.
That would be a whole new level of trauma for that child to work through for their whole life if their stepmom was their mom's sister.
Yeah, you don't tell them to their old.
Oh, you just pretend it was a stranger that became their stepmom?
Yeah.
Okay. Not their aunt.
And then when they ask, why do they look so alike? You go, you stupid, honey.
And then they have to get back on their meds.
They gotta get back on their meds. It's kind of romantic.
It was weird that this one started with Dear Penthouse.
Come on now. That's how all of ours should start.
What do you think Annie Lane's advice is going to be? I think he needs to cut it off.
His penis?
The sexual relationship. This is one where I would say don't end the relationship completely, because it does feel like she's a good mother figure in your son's life. So if there is a way to salvage it but just not have it continue being sexual. That is the way to go.
That's weird. That's even worse. That's even a worse thing to have to tell your kid of, like, why do you and auntie always have like a weird relation, like a weird thing where you guys are alone in a room together or whatever? What's going on there?
Oh yeah, every time you're alone in a room, you run out to do something. You have to come up with an excuse to leave.
Yeah.
I guess, but I don't know. It's still better than, I mean, it still is like, you know, her nephew and sort of, what would you call it? A mom figure in his life for probably a kid that needs it.
But they're already no longer in-laws anymore. I mean, what do they owe this kid? I guess it's up to them what they want to do.
What do they owe this kid? I think people just feel like a sibling passed away. I think a lot of people feel...
But there are other siblings, though. There are other siblings. Do you have to keep the one... There are other sisters, right? Do you have to keep the one that you almost fucked as their closest mother figure?
I mean, I don't think you get to choose that. I think she likes the kid.
I think you do get to choose who goes around your kid. I don't know if... Maybe I'm crazy. I think that is a thing you get to choose to some extent.
I don't know. I feel like you're being a little too Spock about this. I feel like the kid and this specific sister probably have a relationship and they like each other, and severing that and being like, oh no, just hang out with this other aunt, it's not really as easily doable as how you're implying. I mean, I guess it's, you know, possible. You could be like, you never see that aunt again, but that seems kind of traumatic, yeah. And it seems kind of like a shitty...
But the thing about it being her younger sister is cool. I do like how they made sure it was the worst possible thing that could happen. It was her younger, more nubile, more voluptuous sister, more sexually inexperienced sister who we ended up trauma bonding with.
Yeah, I mean, I assume it's not younger in that sort of way. Hopefully just like a year or two.
Yeah, I don't know. What would you do?
What would I do? Not get into the situation? Not think with my dick?
Boring. Isn't it kind of cool, though, the idea that you could have another child who ends up being your own child's cousin? Your cousin brother?
Genetically, they would have 50 times 25. That would be... Adrian, you're the geneticist here. Figure it out for me.
What's closer than a cousin brother?
Yeah, I guess it would be like a weird in-between amount of genetics. I don't know.
People have been saying that we're losing cousins right now because enough people aren't having kids. What if you had a cousin brother and solves both issues? You have a sibling and a cousin.
I did read that article too. Okay. You know who this would definitely be super cool with? The rest of your deceased wife's family. I bet they're going to love this when it comes out.
Yeah. I mean, that makes family gatherings awkward no matter what, right? You're already in... The whole thing about you saying about like how keep them all close, and it's like, but it's already weird. I don't know.
I could see him doing some Christmases with that family, for example, because like you don't want the nephew not to know if they're interested in seeing the nephew and he's interested in seeing his mom's family. Mm-hmm. Like you don't want to say no to that. And I think a lot of people would still bring him around for family events.
Yes. And I do want to say, I know you guys never came to my Christmases, but it is traditional to do strip poker. So that's usually what we do with everybody. We usually do 7 minutes in heaven during our holiday parties with our family.
We set up a blanket and pillow on the couch for you to spend the night. He's like, oh, don't worry, I'll be in her room. They're
like, yeah. We usually do spend the bottle for the holidays.
Have you had any experience with anything like this? Have you ever known somebody who like dated sisters or dated multiple people in a family? I feel like this is a media thing to me. I don't know if I know any IRL of these stories.
Yeah, he left me for my sister. I don't know. No experience on my end. I understand how the trauma can bond people together. I don't know. I've also been in a situation where you have a sexual experience and you tell the other person and they agree. They're like, hey, this can't happen again. And then it does happen again. And you're like, well, what are you going to do? So, you know, what are you going to do?
So Adrian's advice is, what are you going to do? Whatever. Just let it happen.
What are you going to do?
All right. Let's hear the professional's advice.
Dear Confused, I'm so sorry for your loss. It's understandable how things have gotten to this place. You and your sister-in-law have both been through something life-altering, and, in sharing the burden of this grief, you have likely formed a trauma bond, yes. It sounds like it's too soon to tell whether this is a fleeting connection rooted in mutual pain or a lasting love. Before moving forward one way or the other, take some time to sort your own feelings. Oh, yeah, so the article started by him saying that he thinks he's in love with her. Would it mean something to your friends to be like, I think I love my dead sister's sister?
Yeah, I think it'd mean something to most English speakers, right? That's different than I'm trying to smash my dead wife's sister. But,
like, right, that's what I'm saying, is that this seems way more heavy than we were kind of assigning, though. They'd be like, oh, yeah, we'll just keep her in the life. I'm in love with her, but we'll just keep her around and let her hang out with my son. And
I'm saying that that's the right thing to do for the son. I didn't say that it'd be hard for this guy. I'm sure it will be hard for him. I think Annie Lane already in this answer is kind of veering away from, I feel like this is fucked up and you should avoid it, but it seems like she's veering into, if you truly love her and it's been long enough, you can pursue this relationship.
Before moving forward one way or the other, take some time to sort out your own feelings. Grief aside, what do you want next for you, for your son? Then you can have an honest conversation with this woman about where she stands. For this relationship to flourish into something real and long-lasting, your whole shared family will have to be involved. Before taking that leap, make sure you both truly thought things through. Feeling guilty around this is natural, but don't shame yourself for starting to have these feelings again. At the end of the day, your wife would want you to be happy. You aren't dishonoring her just because you're beginning to honor yourself again. And that dirty little dick, mommy. Come on now.
Okay, Annie Lane has really taken advantage of the fact that the wife is dead to speak for her. Oh, she would definitely want this. Yeah, for sure. She,
you know, what are you going to do?
She'd be like, I'm glad it's not my older sister. I'm glad it's my younger sister, who I was always jealous of being more beautiful than me.
Yeah. So what's your verdict?
I don't know. I disagree with Annie, but Annie sounds fine. At least she didn't say, and make sure to stay off meds.
Yeah, that's true for once. Yeah, my no cap is, I think what I've said about a lot of things, which is, there's a lot of people out there. It doesn't have to be this one lady. You could probably find someone else.
But he love her.
Yeah, I think that'll pass.
Okay, but what if his heart was beating so hard that it came out of his chest and even through his shirt made like a little, like a old-timey heart symbol?
Well, then you need to see a doctor. Then you have medical issues too, and you might die soon. And you want to make sure someone's alive to take care of your son.
Wait, that's not normal?
You should set her up with your brother.
Keep her close.
Keep her close, but taken.
What if he doesn't have a brother?
Then your sister.
Then set her up with your ND. Brother.
Who would that be in your life, Paul?
You, my brother.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. My man. Set her up with me.
Adrian said she's single. What's her number?
She's single and traumatized? What's her number?
She's single time to and bounce. Traumatized. I was going for it. God damn it. Time to bounce.
All right. You want to do the third segment?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, Paul, are you ready for a third segment?
Let's hear it.
All right, so on the suggestion of Phil, who was helping us prep this episode, as we always do, we plan a specific window to plan our episodes. That's a thing we do. We're going to take a quiz about familial relationships. So, Paul, do you have anything to say off top about knowing who your uncle, cousin, second removed cousin is?
Yeah, I think I know what those are.
Do you remember that joke from Emperor's New Groove where Yzma's the twice-removed cousin or whatever when she's lying about how she's related to somebody?
I vaguely.
That was the one that introduced me to the idea of twice-removed. I had no idea what that meant.
Oh, yeah. I know what removed means. It just means like up or down the ladder in age. So like your uncle would be your cousin once removed because it's just their parent.
You idiot. You're giving me all the clues to this quiz because I didn't know any of this.
Yeah.
No, this is something I famously talked about where my sister was the one who kept track of how we were related to everybody at a party. So like she would be like, oh, that's Ruth's kid. So that's our cousin or something like that. And I'd be like, I don't know how we're related to any of these people. Who wants to play soccer with me? That's what I want to know.
Okay, who's age appropriate to play soccer, whether or not you're
age appropriates?
Yeah.
Who's got techers? But yeah, I guess I'm prefacing this by saying that I'm not particularly good at this kind of thinking.
Yeah, I just feel like this might be the same question over and over, but let's see how interesting this is.
Oh, who's your daddy?
Yeah.
Where your grandma stay? Where you from? This mad city. Okay, first question. We're going to do this cooperatively because I think we're better as a pair doing things together. Your sister's father is your...
I'm thinking that's, I mean, I guess grandfather, it could be your half-dad.
Uncle, cousin, or father.
Are we supposed to assume that there's weird, like, things in this family? Like, is this one of those trick questions where there was an incest relationship? Okay, your sister's father is probably your own father.
I'm going to break this down. Doralee's father is Rafa, who is my dad, so I'm going to say it's my father.
And you needed that. You needed that heuristic. Okay.
All right. Your grandfather's wife is your grandmother, daughter, aunt, or mother.
Adrian, I'm going to let you take this one. This is starting to go over my head.
It's not my daughter. My grandfather, I didn't know his wife. On my mom's side, I did know. That's my grandma. That's my abuelita.
Oh, but abuelita isn't on the quiz, so I think we should just go with daughter.
No, I went with grandmother. Your cousin's mother is your...
Is she gay? Because if she's gay, she's my gaunt.
Okay, so it's grandmother, sister, daughter, or aunt. There's no gaunt, but do you want to do a gaunt?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, let me type in my own response. Oh, bonus points. Nice. They said cool. It's cool of you to have a gaunt. Your father's brother is your... I did not think this was going to be this remedial. I was really hoping it was going to get into more complex questions, but maybe it does at some point. We'll see. We're still pretty early on in the quiz. Still early days. Your father's brother is your gunkle if he's gay.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Your grandfather's daughter is your cousin, uncle, mother, or sister.
Oh, well, this could be cousin, uncle, mother, or sister. It could be your... I guess mother, because it's gendered. It could only be
your mother, right?
But it could be your aunt.
But there's no aunt. It's only uncle, cousin, sister, or mother. So it's also getting you to learn the gendered version of these things.
Oh, okay. Yeah, is this like an ESL quiz? Like, what are we doing here? This feels like an English as a second language quiz.
It's just from quizmaker.com. It's just quizmaker.com. Well, let's see. Is there anything hard about this one? Your father is your mother's husband. Okay, that's not even familiar. Okay, your father's son is your brother. Okay, yeah, this really does feel like ESL. Your brother is your sibling. Maybe we need to find a better one of these. Let me see.
I mean, even at its best, how hard can it get?
I really thought it was going to get into some real shit. All right, well then, let's just do this then. Let's do a quick power ranking, Paul.
I think we should parent, leave all that
favorite
in,
sibling,
though, because
favorite uncle, favorite aunt, favorite grandparent. We can leave it in, but we're going to end with this.
That feels like it gets way too mean to people. I feel like I can't say that.
Talking about your favorites? That's a joyous thing.
No, because then it's leaving somebody out.
Wow.
But my favorite aunt is my Aunt Nuha. My favorite uncle I couldn't choose.
I don't actually know if I have a favorite aunt or uncle, to be honest.
What were the other ones? Favorite sibling,
favorite parent, favorite grandparent.
Ooh, yeah, I can't get into this, man. This is hurting feelings.
Favorite grandparent, Mama Lila, favorite cousin, Gustavo, obviously, Taquito. Who else? Favorite sibling, obviously Nando.
Whoa, that's crazy work. You talk about Dorley so much. And you're so close to Dorley.
Yeah, obviously, but that means I also hear a lot of dumb shit from Dorley. Nando doesn't say anything dumb.
That's a wild way to look at favorites.
she'll understand.
Adrian's best friend is every friend he just met because he's like, you haven't pissed me off yet.
Yeah.
You rock.
You're still a saint in my eyes.
You haven't planned to do a podcast and the last minute been like, I'm actually going to Art Bar tonight. I thought we were just planning the podcast.
And Kaminsky's to use the gift card I just got for Christmas. This thing expires in one day.
You've never done that, fam? Shit. You're my best friend.
In-laws. What was the thing? In-laws?
Oh, yeah.
Sibling partners? In-laws
and siblings.
Who was your
partners?
Favorite new girl partner? I know Drake and Casey are watching this back right now, so they'd really love our opinion on this. I think it was Justin Long.
It's been so long. Oh, he was the sensitive one. He was also the teacher. That's kind of funny. Mm-hmm. That's a good bit.
Yeah.
I don't remember liking his character. I feel like he had a one episode arc and he was made to look like a bitch the whole time.
Hey, brother, I don't actually know. I don't know that much about New Girl. I've watched it once all the way through. I don't remember that many of them.
Somebody got with somebody's parents. Who was that? It was Jess's dad got with...
Ooh, now that's spicy. With Cece?
Who was it? There was some sort of parent dynamic. No, he had a gay relationship with Nick.
Ooh. With Schmidt?
With Schmidt. Oh, it was two of their parents got together? Was that it?
Oh.
Or something like that.
Oh,
I can't remember.
Is that a secret fear you have? Is that Izzy's parents and your parents are going to get together so you guys are technically siblings before you guys get married?
It wasn't
is that
before.
Something you've thought about?
It wasn't before you just said it.
A new fear unlocked.
Is one of your fears that your parents and Phil's parents aren't going to get together, turning you guys into siblings so you can live out the hit film Step Brothers?
That'd be the best. That'd be the best thing ever.
Which ones would you want to get together? Or is it like a double pair swap? Or is there a pairing you think would work?
No, the doble doble.
The double double. I don't know. I'm not going to lie. That seems like a real loss for your parents on both ends. Seems like a loss for your mom husband-wise and a loss for your dad wife-wise. I just meant because it seems like they have different values. I wasn't making like any sort of statement about Phil's parents. It just seems like they're religious and old school and conservative.
My parents are deeply religious.
Are they really? I never got that vibe.
My dad is. My mom's not really.
Okay. Is your dad deeply religious, or does he just want his soccer team to win? And he's like, come on, God, you got this one.
That might be the most racist thing ever said on this podcast.
He has a very
close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He helped him through very hard times in his life and still believes in God and the blessings he's given him in life.
Mm-hmm. Why'd he?
But also he goes like, come on, God, help Guatemala out with this soccer game.
Why'd he pass none of that down to you?
Oh man.
Okay, so you're saying your dad and Phil's mom would get along through their love of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, my dad's like, I'm way up, I feel blessed. What did you get your parents for Christmas?
Nothing. We do Secret Santa in my family now.
Wow. Okay.
What'd you get your parents?
I got my dad a Bayern Munich jersey, and I got my mom some crochet flowers in a vase that will last forever.
Oh, you see? Interesting what you got your dad. Almost like he loves football.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah, okay.
Big
fact,
Adrian's dad loves football, so it's not racist to say that. His love of Jesus might be connected.
Okay, and my no cap is, when does this come out? Is it New Year's or is it after New Year's? My no cap is, you probably love your siblings-in-law.
All right, bye, buddy.
All right, bye, bruh.